2 Kings 22. Meadow, how old are you? 8? Stand up, would you? Y'all see Meadow? She's 8 years old. Look at verse 1. You can sit down. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. All right, so Meadow is 8 years old. Can you imagine Meadow being the king? Let's get her a crown. She's in charge. It says he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. Isn't God great? All the kids are in the back except Meadow. She's 8 years old. She's perfect. He reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adiah and Boscath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and he walked in all the way of David his father, and he turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. He straightly pursued God to the best of his understanding. There are people today in this country who are doing their best to serve God in their limited understanding of God. They've not been in a church. Isn't that mind-boggling that they've not been in a church? I go back to this when I was pastor in Orlando. We had just a beautiful field like we do here, except that church is in the neighborhood. And the kids would always play out in the yard. And, of course, you know how the deacons are. Deacons being very protective, they would come run the kids off. And so I pulled up one day, and they said, "Sir, is it okay if we're here?" And I said, "Sure, you're okay." I said, "Well, do you have a water fountain inside?" I said, "Yeah." And so I opened the door, and they came in. And as you walk into that building, you walk through the double doors, and then there's another set of double doors, not unlike here, except you could turn to the left and go to the water fountain in the rest of the building. And then in those second set of double doors is a sanctuary. And so they got their water, and they said, "Can we look inside?" And I said, "Yes." I opened the door and turned the lights on, and they looked with awe. I'd never been in a church before. 10, 12, 13-year-old kids. There are people in this country, probably within the distance you could shine a good flashlight, who have never been in church. They're doing the best they can to honor God, knowing there is one, with the limited knowledge that their parents have given them. If we don't do something for our children, they're all going to be lost. It's our responsibility as parents. Now, you say, "Well, I raised my kids, and I did the best I could, and I had them in church, and that's all important." But there's a whole bunch of young people out there that's never been inside a church. And all they know about church is what they read in the paper, hear on the news, or see on TV. Now, I know there's plenty of television about church these days. You know, lots of preachers on TV and on the Internet. If that's what they're looking for, they can find plenty of opportunities. But how tragic that they don't get to go to a Sunday school every Sunday. Wouldn't that be great for kids to go to Sunday school? Wouldn't it be great for kids to get to come and go into a youth chapel with a youth pastor and have these non-parents, non-family people that love them and care about showing them the way of Christ? Wouldn't that be beneficial? We've got a whole bunch of kids out there they've never had that opportunity because their parents don't take them. And that's sad. We've got to reach our neighbors and, you know, tell those adults, you got to get these kids in church. And so Josiah, being 8 years old, became king, and he was doing the best he could with what he knew. Well, as we go on, it says in verse number 3, "It came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, 'Go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people, and let them deliver it to the hand of the doers of the work.'" I love those people. Don't you love those people? The doers of the work. Let me just remind you this. Don't tell the person that's doing it that it can't be done. Just stay out of their way while they're doing it. Got to love the doers of the work. Got to be a doer of the work. That they have oversight in the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work, which is in the house of the Lord. to repair the breaches of the house. The carpenters, the builders, the masons, to buy the timber, to hewn down to repair the house. And so give it to the people so they can repair the temple, which is in disrepair. I'm thankful for all those who take the time to do what needs to be done here on this property to take care of things. Beautiful. Y'all doing a great job. Appreciate that. But we can't be careless with that. We can't just let things slide. We've got to stay on top of it. Because it doesn't take long until it's just too much to do. And it sounds like that's what's happened here. They've lost interest. They've not paid attention. They've kind of let things go. We talked the other day about the broken window, right? And it just gets worse from there. And so the king says, you know, we need to do something. We need to repair the house of God. We need to repair the temple. And so he said, get the offerings, give it to the people that do the work, and tell them to do the work. Just kind of set them free. They know what needs to be done. Let them do it. Don't micromanage them. Verse 7, howbeit there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt faithfully. They didn't stay after them and say, now hold on, what is this $14 at Ace Hardware? They didn't do that. They said, do the work, here's the money. And the workers dealt faithfully. They didn't have to, you know, answer for every penny. I know there's a lot of thievery going on today, and as a church, I appreciate the stewardship and the accountability that we have and the accountability measures we have in place. So I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying that these guys were just said do, they were just told to do the work. Spend what you've got to. You know, really, when it comes to God's work, that's how I am. Let's do what we got to. I want it to be nice. I want it to be impressive. That's why I got this purple tie. I want it to be impressive. I want things to be sharp. You know, let's not go discount mode. We got to be good stewards. We got to be responsible. We don't have unlimited funds, but we got to do the best we can with what we've got. And so they turn them loose, let them do their work. Verse number 8. And by the way, and I appreciate we've got a committee that guides all that and tries to keep us in line. Verse 8. And Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. We didn't know we were going that way, did we? We were talking about building. We were talking about accountability. We were talking about an 8-year-old king. As they're in there working, he comes out with this scroll. You understand we're talking about a scroll. And the look on his face must have been priceless. Because it's not like he was looking for it. You ever had to clean out an old church room, right? An old church office, and you're going through there and you're going, oh, why did they save all this stuff? Why do they just stack stuff in here? And you're throwing stuff out, and all of a sudden he came across something, he goes, what's this? He unrolls it and he reads it. And his jaw must have just dropped. For what he's holding in his hand has been forgotten. What he's holding is a direction of the voice of God to the people of how to live their lives. And nobody's read it in a very long time. An 8-year-old king doing the best he can. But the problem is his teachers don't know what to teach because they don't have the book. And they haven't been taught except by word of mouth. You ever try to teach somebody just what you could remember? And the saying or the idea is that if I tell you how to do your job and I just tell you the best that I know, I'm going to give you 100% of what I've got and you're going to retain about 75 to 80% of that. And then you're going to teach the next guy and how much is he going to retain? 75 to 80% of your 75 to 80%. And every step we lose knowledge. That's why it's so important that we gather as much experience and as much knowledge as we can from those who are around us while they're here. Boy, what a treasure to sit around with somebody who's over 100 years old and let them tell you stories. Let them talk about how it used to be. It's so foreign to what we know. It's just amazing. But if they don't tell the story, it's lost with them. And Here's Josiah with just what he knows from just what he's been told, from just what they were told. Just word of mouth because nobody's following the book. Hilkiah comes out. And he gave the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan read it. I mean, what would you do if you got a hold of it? I mean, here's a Bible. Here's the word of God. And Hilkiah reads it. And now Shaphan reads it. How long does that take? Not a minute. I mean, he's reading it. He's reading. He's excited about it, but he's reading it. And he's just understanding and learning about it. Now, two people have read this book before it went beyond them. And to understand what it is, to understand what was written, is so important to stay in the book. Can you imagine what you would miss if you just know what you get from the preacher or the teacher? If that's all you ever hear? There's no way that we can draw everything out of the Bible in 4 hours a week. But if you will spend an hour a day plus those 4 hours a week, think of what you can learn. Not only that, but then when the teacher or the preacher gets up to preach and you already have read that and you already know what happened, you can listen to what they're saying, and what happens if they get it wrong? You won't know unless you read it. And I would encourage you not just to have daily reading, but also after we have service, go home and read it again. I mean, there's a chance. You hear somebody preach something or read something or say something that's not in there. No, we're going to try not to do that here. But I would encourage you, read it. But by the way, in these 30 minutes that we have of preaching each time, we don't read every word. So even in a sermon, you might miss something. It's part of the story. And so they discover the book of the law, which had been shelved and forgotten. Verse number 10. Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. So here's this king, and he's listening to Shaphan. Just read it. Not expound it. Not explain it. Just read it. And I imagine King Josiah is hanging on every word. You see, it said he didn't turn to the left or the right. He wanted to walk in the steps of David. He wanted to be a man after God's own heart. He wanted to know exactly what does God want of me. And so he's listening to every word. By the way, we ought to really get good at reading the Bible. I would encourage you, when you read the Bible, find a place to be alone and read it out loud. Verse 11, it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, he rent his clothes. He just ripped his shirt. Why? Because he realized how far they had strayed from God. He realized how far they had backslidden. Was it their fault? Somebody's fault. Like I say, he was doing the best he could with what he had. He just didn't have what he needed. And isn't it incredible that that was put on a shelf and forgotten, and God said to Josiah, hey, have them clean out the temple and fix things up. And Josiah said, let's clean the temple. Let's get it fixed up. And God led Hilkiah, as he's working his way through, to reach up and take that scroll. And not just to take it and move it, you know, dust around it, move it to another. No. Open it. Read it. And he touched Hilkiah's heart. Isn't that incredible? Or Shaphan, I'm sorry, I'm saying Hilkiah, but Shaphan's the one that found it. Verse 12, the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Achbor the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah the servant of the kings, saying, go ye inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, Because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book. They forgot it. They abandoned it. Our family should see us reading our Bible. Wives, your husband should see you reading it. Husband, your wife should see you reading it. Parent, your children should see you reading it. Wouldn't be bad if your mom and dad still around, let them see you reading it. Get in the book. Stay in the book. Read the book. Don't abandon the book. I'm glad that we have embraced the church and we believe what the church believes, but how are we going to know what the church believes if we don't know what the book teaches? Because this church believes the book. All of it. Every page. He says, go talk to the Lord. Find out what we should do. Inquire of God on our behalf and ask God, what should we do? Hilkiah the priest, and so this crew, verse 14, went to Huldah the prophetess. Hey guys, don't tell anybody that's a woman preacher. Don't tell anybody that. Now, she's not a woman pastor, but she's a woman preacher. This is a woman who has devoted her life to God. She's serving God. The Bible says she's a prophetess. You know what that means? It means God speaks through her. But don't tell anybody that. Y'all said, preacher, you just said you believe the whole book. We do believe the whole book. All of it. You better believe that too. Anyway, she dwelt in Jerusalem, and they communed with her. Verse 15, and she said, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me, burned incense to other gods. That's going on today in America. That they might provoke me to anger. They're doing it on purpose, thumbing their nose at God today in America. With all the works of their hands and evil, wicked hands today. Therefore, my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. God says, you're not going to stop me once I get started. You won't be able to talk me out of it. I shall never be satisfied with my judgment against evil. That's what that means. It shall not be quenched. Verse 18, but to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus saith the God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard. Look at verse 19. Underline this if you have a pen. Because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord. When thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Isn't that incredible? What did he say? He said, because your heart was tender. One of the problems that we have today is we're so calloused. We don't care about anything except ourselves. We're not touched by the infirmities, by the grieving of others. We've forgotten how to weep. We've forgotten how to feel. God, through Huldah, says to the king, but you've got a tender heart. Because you've got a tender heart, things are going to be different for you. Because you have a tender heart and you have humbled yourself and you have wept before me, you see that? When's the last time we cried over our nation, over the lost, or over a lost friend, or over a need? When's the last time it mattered enough that our hearts were broken over it? But Josiah was, and God says, behold, therefore, verse 20, I will gather thee to thy fathers. Thou shalt be gathered into the grave, to thy grave in peace. Thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. You know, we think about America today. We think about the tribulation, and we We see all the events of the Bible as it unfolds. We wonder about the judgment that's coming to a nation that kills babies with disregard. A nation that hates prayer and hates God and the Bible in the public square. A nation that criticizes the church every chance they get, and churches who misuse their platform for personal gain. I hate to see what God will do when he's had enough of this country. But by the grace of God, I hope the rapture comes and we don't have to see it. America deserves the wrath of God. Thank God for his mercy, but we deserve his judgment. God says, but you're tender-hearted, so you'll not see it. You're tender-hearted, so you'll be in the grave and you won't see what I'm going to do. I don't want to be around for that. In chapter 23, in verse 1, the king did this. He says, you know what? He says, Hilkiah, you read it. Shaphan, you read it. I've heard it. He said, you know what we got to do? We got to read this to the people. They got to hear it. It's not enough for me to know the word. It's not enough for you to know the word or you to know the word. They need to know the word. And the only way for them to know it is just to hear it. We need to read it to them. And so they said, everybody come up here. Everybody gather up. And they gathered up. The Bible says in verse number 2, all the men of Judah, all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests, the prophets, the people, small and great, that means rich and poor, important and unimportant in the eyes of society, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant which was found in the house of the Lord. Do you notice what he said there? He said all of the words. Give me just a minute to say this. Every word in the book is there on purpose. We can't change it. Can't change it. Well, it's not in the modern English. But can you read it? Can you read what's there? Do we really have to break it down into cartoons for you to understand what it says? And the worst thing is it seems to be the most educated who think we need to change it. You know, the illiterate have learned how to read by reading this book, by hearing other people. We don't need to change it. We don't need to update it. We need to read it. All of the words. And the king, verse 3, stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord in the eyes and the ears of all the people to walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in the book. And all the people stood to the covenant. What are we saying there? The king said, I will lead out. I surrender. I will lead out. I give myself to you, God. I will lead out. God, do in me whatever you will. I surrender all. And the people stood and said, we do too. That's great, isn't it? That's wonderful. Well, he says, you know what we need to do? I was noticing in the temple, we got some idols in there. I was noticing in the temple, we've got some tools and trinkets and furniture that's there to worship Baal and false gods. What they had done is they had gotten them a bumper sticker that said coexist, right? And so they said, Christians and Mormons and Muslims and everybody, just let's all just love everybody. Look, I love everybody, but everybody's not right. We could disagree, and there's a couple of possibilities. You're wrong, I'm wrong, or we're both wrong. But we can't disagree and both be right. Does that make sense? Somebody's wrong. Maybe both of us. But if we disagree, we can't both be right. And he said, we can't have false gods in God's house. We can't have statues and idols in God's house. And he said, we got to clean this up. And so verse 4, they brought out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal and for the grove and for the hosts of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and they carried the ashes of them to Bethel. And he put down, verse 5, the idolatrous priests. Hold on a second. They had elevated and put on the payroll these priests that were serving other gods. He said, we're done with that. He put them down. He put them out. That were ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places round about Jerusalem. Them also that burn incense to Baal, to the sun and to the moon and to the planets and to all the hosts of heaven. Hey, this whole idea of worshiping the earth, it's not new. Of worshiping the stars, the sun and the moon, astrology, it's not new. What's going on there? And it's got no place in God's house. Got no place among God's people. And so it says they tore it down and they burned it up. And verse number 16, we'll skip a bit there because you say you're going to read it when you get home, right? Verse 16. And Josiah turned himself and he spied the sepulchers that were in the that were there in the mount, and he sent and took the bones out of the sepulchers, and he burned them upon the altar, and he polluted it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. Y'all remember that from last week? The Bible says that a man of God out of Judah came to the king, and the king was making a sacrifice. Remember Jeroboam? He was making a sacrifice at the altar, and the man of God said, men's bones are going to be burned on that altar, and the altar will be broken, and the ashes will be scattered. And the king said, get out of here, and his hand froze. And he said, preacher, would you pray for me? And the preacher prayed for him, and his hand worked again. We need to get him to pray for us, don't we? And the man of God said, bones will be burned on that altar. What just happened here? He said, there'll rise a prophet, Josiah by name. Remember that? That was back in 1 Kings. And now it's come to pass. It didn't happen the next day or the next week or the next month. But if God said it, you can count on this, it will happen. He was cleaning out the sepulchers. He said, whose bones are these? They said, that was a worshiper of Baal. He said, get the bones out of there. Let's clean it out. Who was that? Oh, he was a false prophet. Get his bones out of there. He burned all the bones. He said, we're cleaning this town. We're getting rid of every stench of false worship. And they did. He came to this one. And he says, what's in there? He said, that's the man of God from Judah that preached about what you're doing. He said, leave him alone. Leave him alone. That's verse number 17. Josiah was limited in his understanding. I believe there are a lot of people in the world, in this vicinity, who are doing the best they can with what they got, with what they know. They just don't know. And they don't know that they don't know. And so we, as God's people, informed by the Word of God, need to take to them the message of God. Whether that be in the classroom or the office place or in the community, in the neighborhoods, in conversations with our family. There are a lot of people who think they're going to heaven because they're good people. But the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. We've got to make sure they understand the way. We've got to ask them how they're going to get in. Jesus is the key. We know. Why do we know? Because we get in the book. We cannot expect the world to know the Word of God, but we should expect the church to know it. It's our book. I just thought of this. I'm just going to turn over here and read this. I'm just going to read it to you. We've got just a minute. in the book of Jude in verse number 3. He says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." It's our job. It's been entrusted to us. Don't huddle it away so that one day your grandchildren, as they're cleaning out your stuff, come along and say, "What's this?" We got to put it in their hands. We got to put it in their hearts. That's our job. We just need it. Father, we love you so much, and we're thankful for the time we spend in your word tonight. We understand what you said there as through the prophetess you said to the king, because your heart was tender, and because you humbled yourself, and because you wept in grief and repentance after you realized the condition of the day. God, help us to see ourselves through your eyes. Forgive our sins. Make us what you'd have us to be. God, give us eyes to see the world as you see it. To have compassion, to have love, to be kind, and to make a difference. Dismiss us with your blessing and forgive our sins. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.